So if I can just give you a brief exhortation challenge, I feel like it's a strong challenge this morning on worship. Dan preached last week on worship and bringing an offering to the Lord, and it's an incredible message. You can listen to it on YouTube. You can listen to the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, all of that. It's a great message, and there was a snippet, a little something that he said in that message that just, it's like I was awakened. It's something came alive in me. I was like, that's my message. I love that. And it pulled on my heart. He said, I don't want to come to you in worship with yesterday's ashes from yesterday's offering. I want to bring you a fresh offering. What is it to bring God a fresh offering? And I think that, if anything, what I want to talk about this morning is unacceptable worship. Early on in the scriptures, in Genesis chapter 4, we learn about God that there is an acceptable way to worship and an unacceptable way. Everyone say acceptable? Unacceptable. I want to talk about unacceptable worship today. Just briefly, I know we're coming up against noon. It's lunchtime. It's going to be good. You're just call it fasting, right? I fast every day. I fast in between meals. Some of y'all will get that after service. Let me tell y'all, did you know that when you come before the Lord and you say, I feel like we've all been guilty of this. Here we are. Here I am, Lord. Come. You know, this is a famous statement. Come as you are. Just show up. Just be who you are. And when we're tired and life is just, we've gone through life that week. We're tired. The kids are sick. We're struggling financially. We stumble into the sanctuary, the house of God. Let's call it the building, right, to worship together. And we say something like in our heart, I'm here. I made it. At least I'm here. Here I am, God. You know that's unacceptable? That's just giving God the leftovers. You know what? I made it. I'm here at least. It's unacceptable. And we need to catch this because that's the kind of offering that Cain made in Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, the first, I think, example of worship is laid out before us. Because if you think about worship in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Genesis, there's no songs at all. The first song of worship is in Exodus chapter 15. It's Moses' song or Miriam's song. But all of worship is offerings, sacrifices, covenant making, giving, tithe, first fruits. I don't even have enough hands to just list off the ways that they worship that had nothing to do with when we come in here at 10 a.m. and I lead you in song. It has to do with offering, sacrifice, giving sacrificially. And so we see Abel presents an offering to the Lord. And if you read it there in Genesis chapter 4, it says, Abel gave of the first of his flocks and the fat portions. The fat, he gave God the good stuff. He gave God the bacon. He gave God the good fat stuff, right? So he gives God the first and the best. We know in this house about first fruits and teachings on first fruits. The first is like the strongest, the most that nutrient packed. It's like what you would use to sow your future crop. But when instead you give it to God because you trust God for your next harvest, not your past harvest for your next harvest. Is anybody with me? So Abel gives his first of his flocks and the fat portions. He's giving God the good stuff. He could be, listen, why? Because he has a revelation of God. You can't worship God without revelation. Abel had a revelation of God. I don't know what it was, but he had a revelation of God so much that he was like, I know what to get you. I'm gonna go over here. Hang on, God, I'm going to go prepare you something that you're going to love. I'm going to get you the best. I'm going to get you the first. I'm going to get you the fat. I'm going to give you this offering. And God accepted that offering. And then if you read down another verse or two, it said of Cain that he gave some of his fruits of the ground. Some of them. Cain gave out of convenience. Abel gave out of conviction. And I think it's because Cain didn't have a revelation of God. So Cain comes in and he's like, yeah, I've harvested. Here's some of what I have. Cain's offering was like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to give to God. Here it is, Lord. Here's what I have left. And that's how we are when we come in and we're like, this is all I got. I'm here just as I am. It's not acceptable. You know, God doesn't accept that kind of an offering. And it says of Cain, it says the Lord didn't accept it, and then Cain got mad. But guess what? God is a God of grace. And he says to Cain, hey, Cain, why are you mad, bro? That's what God says. He says, why are you mad? Don't you know that if you make it right, that I'll accept it and that I'll accept you? And then he says this most fascinating statement to me. Sin is crouching at the door, and you must rule over it. That's an interesting statement theologically to me, because I always think I can't rule over sin. That's why Jesus came, so that we could have victory over sin, right? But there's actually countless times in the scriptures where it says this very thing, where it says sin is crouching at the door, you must rule over it. Basically, you must take responsibility and do what is in your power to do to get right. Now, obviously, we need the sacrifice of Jesus in order to get completely right. But this tells us that there is a responsibility that we need to take in order to bring God something that he'll accept. And there's statements that we make as a church and as a Christian, Western indoctrinated people, like, come as you are. Just be who you are. Just show up. And it's not acceptable. Because God is looking for your best. He's looking for your best. He's looking for, and you know you can't give God your best unless you have a revelation of him. You have to have a revelation of God. This is what I tell worship leaders. If your worship is simply response, right? It's our response to God's revelation. Therefore, in order for you to have worship, you have to first have revelation. And if worship is response, then all you are as a worship leader is a response leader. You're helping people respond to the revelation of God. So if all the kind of songs that you lead are just response songs, you're not helping people. Okay, I'm talking to worship leaders right now, but let me help you. If all you do is just respond, 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 then we can fall into this robotic, I'm responding because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm singing because that's what I'm supposed to. What you need to do is get a revelation of God and the response will come. So with my worship leaders, I say, don't just walk up into a place and say, respond to God. Give them a revelation of God. Read the scriptures, give a testimony, tell of what he has done so that people can feel a need to respond to God. Does this make sense? Abel had a response to God that was acceptable because he had a revelation of God. Cain did not, and so he still brought something, but God was like, I don't accept it. I don't accept it. Let us be careful, church, that we don't bring to God the leftovers. Let us be careful that we don't just come to God as we are. I showed up. I made it. Here I am. God's like, okay, and where are you at? Where are you at? My wife knows when I'm listening and when I'm not listening. I can be in her presence and not be in her presence. She can go, babe, where are you? Where are you at? Because my mind is somewhere else. I'm thinking about something else. How many of us are guilty of that in the presence of God? I'm in the house of worship, The worship team is playing. I'm singing along. But where are you at? This is not acceptable. We need to bring our best to God, which isn't about trying harder to bring our best to God. It's about seeking him to get a revelation. Because if you seek him to get a revelation of who he is, you'll have nothing but to respond in worship. So when you come into this place, into this house of worship, corporately, when we gather, where are you at? Have you stumbled in here? I've come just as I am. Or have you come with expectation? Have you come with a revelation? Have you come robotically to go, okay, here we go. Matt's singing the song again. We have come to give you glory. We have come to give you praise. Are you just singing it, or do you have a posture that's like, Lord, I want to see you. I want to know you. I love you, Lord. And just put your affection and your attention on him until you get a revelation of his goodness, and then you'll respond in worship. I guess that's what my question is. Where are you at in the place of worship? And this, I'm just obviously talking about this house of worship when we come into this place, but where are you at in your lifestyle of worship too? Where are you at every single day when you're going about the mundane of life? Where are you at? Are you bringing an offering that's acceptable to God? An offering that's acceptable to God always looks like sacrifice. So when you were just praying about sowing into Leon and Paula's life, if it was a sacrificial amount, it was probably God. If it was like, I can give 20 or 30 bucks, I can give $5, you know, and that might be sacrificial for some of you, that's good. But if the response is, I can afford to do this, then it's probably not God. If the response is, God, what can I do to give into what you're doing? It's because the revelation of God has come to you and you desire to respond with generosity. And a generous heart is what God is looking for. God is looking for a generous heart. You know, when we've heard it said that when we take communion, when we take of the Lord's table, the Eucharist, Paul tells us in the letters to the churches in the New Testament, he says, make sure you're right with your brother, right? If you're not right and you have something that you need to ask for forgiveness for, or you need to go make it right with somebody, you need to do that before you take of the table. We know that. But we always relate that to communion. But Jesus says this astounding statement in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. He says, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there on the altar and go and first be reconciled to your brother. Then come back and offer your gift to God. That's what it says. We look over that a lot. I don't know why. Even when I read it in the last several weeks, I'm like, oh, yeah. This is about worship. This is about when I bring an offering of praise, a sacrifice of praise, something to the Lord. If I'm not right with someone next to me, or if I'm not right with someone in my life, could it be that God doesn't accept my worship? Could it be? I think it could be. So then let me ask you this question. We think of false worship as worshiping another god, right? Idolatry. Thou shalt not worship any other god but me. So we think of false worship immediately as worshiping an idol in our lives, worshiping another god. But did you know you can worship the one true God incorrectly? Well, here I am, Lord. I'm bringing you something, and it's unacceptable. This makes me shudder a little bit, that I can worship the one true God unacceptably. And that's what happened to Cain, is that he brought an offering to the Lord, and it wasn't what God wanted. See, Abel knew what God wanted. And I think that the matter of worship is knowing what God wants. And we can only know what God wants through intimacy with him. If I gave you a gift that I thought you would like, but I didn't know you, that's not a great gift. This is the gift that Cain brings to God. He's like, well, I have this. Here you go. God's like, I don't want that. In order to give a gift to God, you have to know what he wants, and God does want something specifically. He's looking for a broken and a contrite heart. There's all over the scriptures where it talks about the kind of worship we're to, and the kind of posture we're supposed to come before the Lord. Yet we tend to give God what we think he wants. We give God our leftovers. Everyone say leftovers. We have to be careful about giving God leftovers. Primarily because he doesn't accept it. If we're not careful, we'll be living on leftovers. Someone else's fresh revelation of God. And the reason we're giving God leftovers is because we don't have fresh revelation. The late Dr. Don Lynch said that in the church, we have spiritual scurvy. Which scurvy was what sailors got on long voyages when they didn't have the right nutrients, the fresh vegetables, the fresh fruit, and they started eating bad food to survive, and they would get sick. It was just a malnourishment. Like, you can get over scurvy with nutrients. But the church, the body of Christ, needs to be careful that we're not living on somebody else's leftovers, somebody else's fresh revelation that becomes leftovers for us. We're malnourished. We don't have the nutrients that God wants us to have. We need to get it fresh from him. And unless we get fresh revelation from him, we can't offer him fresh worship. We have to get revelation from God. Everyone say revelation. I need a revelation from God in order to worship him rightly. I can't just walk up in here the way that I want to. I can't just walk up in here whichever way I'm feeling. I need to posture myself to encounter the living God, the God of heaven and earth, the one who created the stars and the one who wove my heart together in my mother's womb. I need to posture myself and have a healthy, acceptable worship to the Lord. So I know this is more of a challenging message, unacceptable worship, but we've got to get rid of unacceptable worship, and we do it by getting a fresh revelation from God. You can't have worship without revelation, and you can't have revelation of God without desire and without posture and without practice of being in his presence. Lord, we need your presence. We want to see you. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I love that song, to reach out and touch him, to say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to listen. Open my eyes. I want to see Jesus. If we don't have that posture, then we're going to miss out on offering God the kind of worship that is acceptable. Our children are coming back in from children's church. It's a beautiful thing. So, I want to give you this to chew on this week, that when you come back to the place of corporate worship, what posture do you have? And I'm talking about corporate worship. I'm talking about in this house. When you come back to the place of the synergy of worship, us offering our worship together, think about how much more power there would be if individually we were all bringing something that God accepted and not just leftovers, not just something convenient, but something that God hears and goes, oh yeah, that's good. That's what David knew how to offer God. In Psalm 141, he says, let my prayers be like the incense. You guys know that I've shared this with you out of Psalm 141, where David is saying, he's away at battle. Scholars say that he wrote this away from the tabernacle, but he knew the tabernacle. He knew the heart of God, And so he's away from the presence of God, yet he's still talking to God. And he's saying, man, God, I can't be in the tabernacle right now, but you know that bowl of incense? Let my prayers be like that incense. God's like, yes, that's it. Because in Revelation, God says that the bowl of incense is the prayers of the saints. David knew the heart of God, so he's like, God, let my prayers be like that incense that's right outside the Holy of Holies. And then he says, you know how they have the sacrifices, God? Let my hands be like the evening sacrifice, the lifting. I don't have a sacrifice here, and I'm not in the temple, but let the lifting of my hands be like that. God's like, yes, you get it. The lifting of your hands, yada, yada, which means worship. Judah, that's where we get the word Judah. The Hebrew word yada is to wave your hand. Yad is your hand. Everyone show me your yads. Yeah, there we go. Nice yads. The waving of your hand, yada, is the evening sacrifice. This is my worship to you, Lord. Let like they had the sacrifices, let my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Let my prayers be like the incense. This is the posture of worship that when David was not in the place of the tabernacle of God, the tabernacle of worship, he was like, what can I do even here in my tent at war to offer you something that you'll accept? What can I do? And you know, because he sought the heart of God, he was able to offer something to the heart of God that the heart of God accepted, because he sought him. And you, when you seek God with your whole heart, he will listen. That's what it says in the scriptures. When you seek him and you seek him with your whole heart. See, the problem with us is we're looking, but we're just kind of looking around-ish, kind of. Not seeking him with our whole heart. We're seeking him. We might find him if it's convenient or if we stumble onto the right place. No. If you seek God with all that you are, you will find him. And he will bless you. It's like Jacob wrestling with God. I won't leave till you bless me. And even in that, God crushed him to bless him. And I think that many of us are in a season of experiencing the pressing and the crushing of God. And we're going, this can't be God. God wouldn't want me crushed. God wouldn't want me going through a hard time. Oh, how you're so wrong. Oh, how when you encounter God and you really want all that he has for you, he has to crush you. He has to change your walk. He has to change your mind. He has to change your perspective, so that when you get back up, you have a different name. And it's because of the crushing. And from there, new wine. From there, oil. Life from the crushing, from the pressing. You can't have oil in your life, new wine in your life. You can't have the things that God wants to grow in you without the pressing and the crushing and even, listen, the darkness. A seed before it sprouts is put into the ground and goes through a dark time. And if you're not careful, you'll think that you're buried instead of being planted. Things that are buried go down and stay down. Things that are planted go down to come back up. So be careful that in the season of darkness, in the season of pressing, that you don't see yourself as being buried and good for nothing. That this can't be God. That I need to find another place. That maybe I haven't heard from God. No. Lean into it even further. Lean into the crushing. Lean into the pressing. The crushing of the grapes is what makes wine. The pressing of the olive is what makes oil. The planting of the seed in the darkest soil is what produces life in time. Embrace the crushing. That's God's plan. You know, God's plan for you is to embrace that season of crushing and pressing and darkness, which is uncertainty and mystery and wondering, is this right? And God's like, yes, stay put. You're doing good. Oil's coming. Wine is coming. Life is coming. So when you come to the place of worship and when you're in your daily life, thinking about the kind of offering that you're giving to God, be intentional about, is this what you want? Is this really what you want? Or am I bringing you something convenient? Conviction, convenience. Leftovers or revelation? That's true worship. Don't bring God the leftovers from yesterday. Don't bring God the ashes from yesterday's offering. Bring God a fresh thing. God loves a cheerful giver. A spontaneous giver is what it says. A glad giver that even in the natural it might not look like it's going to work. But he sees that rise up out of you and he's like, that's the thing I'm looking for. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. That thing that you're like, oh, I should do this. Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. Oh, you just reasoned yourself out of an encounter with God. You just reasoned yourself out of a blessing from God because you thought, it's not quite there. I don't know, I've never done that before. You just reasoned your way out. And God's like, that's it, that's it, that's what I'm, oh, no, don't go. That is gone. Don't reason your way out. Press in. Give generously. Give boldly. Give in the season when it's hard to give. Give in the summer when you're supposed to vacation. You want your vacation to be great? Give more to God. Give to other people. We always think, save, get for ourselves, and do what we can for ourselves. No, God's looking for a giver. What does your worship look like? That's the question. Let us be careful of unacceptable worship. Can I pray and bless us out? Stand to your feet, church. Lord, I don't want to ride on somebody else's passion. I want to burn bright with the flame of your revelation today. Give us fresh revelation, Lord, in your word, in your rhema word. Lord, speak to us. Our ears are open. We want to see Jesus. Lord, help us to live as a prophetic people that see what you're doing and cheerfully give, spontaneously give our offering, which is full of revelation from you, and that becomes acceptable to you. Lord, we don't want to give unacceptable offering. Lord, forgive us. I just feel a sense of repentance right now. Lord, forgive me. I repent, Lord, for bringing you worship that was stale, for bringing you worship that was tired, for bringing you worship that was just me showing up. Well, God, I made it. I'm here. That's all I got left. I hear the Lord saying that the truest worship is the wildest worship in your darkest time. That when you're going through the heaviest pressing and you can push through and worship, that's the worship he's looking for. Not just, I'm here, I made it. But when your response is, I got more to give you, Lord. I know exactly what you want. That's the kind of worship that causes the heart of God to move. Lord, move on our hearts to do that. Give us revelation this week so that we can respond to you in acceptable worship, an offering that has power and might. Lord, make me an empty vessel and fill me with your revelation that I may pour out with worship and become empty again so that you may fill me and I may pour out and you may fill me. In Jesus' name.